Hello and welcome to You Ruin Everything, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of the CW show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm your host, Angie. I've seen every episode of the show.
I'm co-host Mike, and I'm watching for the first time.
And we are spoiler-free because Mike's never watched the show before, so don't be a dick. Don't spoil Mike.
I almost don't have to worry about that anymore. We're getting close.
Almost. We've got two episodes after this one, and then
you can't spoil them anymore.
There's no such thing as spoilers anymore.
Just try.
You wouldn't be able to. Wait 2 weeks first, and then just try. Wait, how do you feel about, like, watching, like, trailers for the series? Like, would that be a spoiler? Like, anything in a trailer?
I don't think so, because it's, like, officially produced material.
All right.
Like, if someone was sneaking, like, clips from the, like, unauthorized clips from the shooting and releasing that, I would not like that. But, like, official promos, yeah. How about that? Is that your feelings, too?
Yeah, that's my feelings, too, mostly. Although, the Harry Potter movies, I was so familiar with the books that I couldn't watch the previews because I would get my expectations too high for certain scenes, and then I'd be disappointed in the movies. But once I stopped watching the previews, I just really enjoyed the movies. It's like, oh, that's much better than I thought it was going to be. As opposed to, like, being like, oh, man, that Quidditch game is going to be awesome. No.
Which one? The Slytherin Gryffindor one from book six?
No, the Quidditch World Cup. I was surprised that they were even going to put it in there, put, like, that part in the movie at all. I thought, like, that was, like, going to be, like, a really easy thing to cut. And it was, like, a huge part of the preview. And, like, basically, like, everything that was in the preview was all of the Quidditch World Cup.
Kind of breezed by it, and there's a lot that happened in the book.
And I was like, I probably would have enjoyed just that little nod if, like, I hadn't watched the previews after that when I stopped watching previews for the Harry Potter movies.
So we are both Ravenclaws, right?
We are both Ravenclaws.
I mean, we really just want to be Gryffindor, but we don't want to be, like, that lame.
No, because Nathaniel doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Fuck that guy. Of course he's a Slytherin.
And you know what? Rebecca totally is a Ravenclaw. She is, like, so Ravenclaw. Like, she's maybe, like, 10% Gryffindor. But, like,
isn't this about what you value?
Yeah.
She doesn't value all that intellectual stuff.
Yes, she does. It's not just intellectual stuff, though. Like, that's, like, the thing that Ravenclaws are famous for, but they're also creative and eccentric.
I mean, she is that stuff, but does she value that stuff?
I think she does! She contextualizes her life by imagining it in the form of a musical, as a series of musical numbers.
It's very creative.
Yeah.
I just think she is creative.
Yeah.
Alright, no, I'll move on.
She is 100% a Ravenclaw. Like, okay, maybe she's, like, 70% Ravenclaw, 20% Slytherin, 10% Gryffindor.
Like, no zero, Hufflepuff in that one.
0% Hufflepuff. She is not hardworking, loyal, or kind.
Yeah. Alright. Good point. 0% that.
Yeah. But Nathaniel is entirely Slytherin.
Yeah, especially the evil part.
Maybe 10% Ravenclaw.
He's bright, too.
Yeah. Because he's got, like, secret nerdiness. Like, secret nerdiness.
Yeah, so, like, the Sorting Hat tried to put him in Gryffindor, but he's like, no, Slytherin, 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 please, Slytherin. Like, Slytherin, eh? Alright. So, what are we watching?
Before we get into what we're watching, the day that we're recording this, not the day it's going to be released, is Voter Registration Day.
So travel back in time, everyone, and register today.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
Fuck off, I have a thing I want to do.
Okay, do the thing.
And even though this won't be you won't hear this until after voter registration day, I do want to encourage voting. So, you know, I know there's no federal elections this year, but you probably have, like, some state or local elections going on this year. If you tweet at us a picture of you with your I voted sticker or whatever,
what are you going to do?
I'll give you a shout out at the beginning of the show when everyone's still listening. Not even at the end when y'all turn it off.
By name or nickname, your choice.
Your choice. I will shout out your full government name if you want. I will shout out.
You should include what house you belong to, and we'll put that in there.
If you want to include your Hogwarts house, that's fine. If you want to include your Ilvermorny house.
Your what?
The American version of Hogwarts.
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, yeah. I'm a horned serpent.
Is this like an in canon thing, or is it some?
Yeah, it's in canon. Or? It's in canon. It's part of Pottermore.
Okay.
They mention it in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Is there four houses there as well?
Yes.
Are they like equivalent? Four houses, or they
not direct? There's not direct equivalencies necessarily.
And which one are you again?
I am the Horned Serpent.
Serpent sounds Slytherin like.
It sounds Slytherin like, but it's closer to Ravenclaw actually.
Okay.
Yeah, go check out Pottermore.
Yeah, I need to watch the new Harry Potter stuff. I haven't seen those read or seen the newest stuff.
Oh, you should. I really like Fantastic Beasts. Some people didn't like it. But those people are fantastic. Dumb. They're not dumb.
You like animals a lot. Maybe that's part of it. Is it animal based? I mean, it's in the name, I would assume.
Yeah, there's like magical creatures in it. And,
that would be really stupid.
And also, I think Newt Scamander is like kind of like a fun, not your typical male hero type.
What is it?
Newt Scamander, the main character.
Okay. I thought maybe that was one of the magical beasts.
No.
Sounds like beast like.
But anyways, this show isn't about why you should vote. Although you should vote in your local elections. Seriously, do it.
Or Harry Potter, even though it's a modern day classic.
It's even though it is a modern classic. It's not about that either. We talk about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and this week we are talking about Josh is the Man of My Dreams, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
I think.
Right?
That's what the show's about.
Which is written by Elizabeth Kierman Everick and directed by Michael Patrick Jan.
All right. So, it's windy outside.
It is windy outside. Karen is giving us some exposition about the Santa Ana winds. Coming in.
What about the winds?
She's giving us some exposition.
What's that?
It's telling us that what the winds are and that they're happening.
I don't know this word.
I don't know.
Is it like a common word?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Exposition?
Exposition. Exhibit, I've heard of. It's not that.
I feel like we have to like go back and like do like English redo class English. All over again. Now we have to stop the podcast.
Retake English and then come back and continue the podcast.
Yeah. Go do it.
All right, done. I still don't know what that word means. It's like explaining stuff, apparently.
Basically, yeah.
So Karen gives an explanation about the wind.
Yeah, sure. But Rebecca wants to talk about really important things, and she needs Karen to focus on her ring!
She is excited about that.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She's got that in everyone's face.
Yep. George. Poor George. points out when Rebecca says that, oh no, he went and bought it back from the pawn shop after I sold it.
It must not be that important, right?
George points out that it probably isn't that important to her if she sold it, and she's like, shh.
Look how good my ring looks on your face.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah,
they think that she got engaged kind of fast.
Yeah, Daryl says that it's pretty fast, but he says, but you know, if you know, why wait?
Yeah.
Mrs. Hernandez is the sole voice of reason in the room. Rebecca says that that Mrs. Hernandez is being insulting, but I don't think she is. I think she says, like, maybe because marriage is, like, a big commitment and you shouldn't rush into it.
Doesn't like people doubting her.
Yeah, that's not really insulting. Maybe a little condescending.
Yeah, I could see not wanting to be told that.
Yeah.
Like, mind your business, Ms. Hernandez.
Yeah, I am being pedantic. Scratch that, I'm definitely being pedantic.
Yeah, I'll say so. But Paula says they've been through a lot, and they've known each other since they were 16, which is technically true.
Yeah.
But a bit...
Misleading.
Misleading, yeah.
What with the 10-year gap of not seeing or speaking to each other.
Yeah. But they have been through a lot. I'll give them that.
Been through a lot the past year. And, you know, they're not going to get married in, like, 2 weeks or whatever.
No, those things take years to plan.
Yeah. And Karen is like, I've been engaged for 12 years.
Yeah, what's the problem?
He's serving a life sentence in San Quentin.
They said if she met him in the prison or before he was in prison?
I feel like she probably met him in prison.
That was my gut feeling, too.
I don't think they said it, but, like, that's how I felt.
That's how I felt. That's what I was trying to think if, did they say that, or I just, like, assumed that.
Like, it felt like, first of all, it feels like Karen would meet some, would be, like, a prison pen pal.
Yes. I agree.
It doesn't feel like Karen would be involved with somebody who would do something that would get them a life sentence before they committed the crime that would get them the life sentence. Although, I think California is a three-strike state. Or at least it drugs. Was. Yeah, so, like, basically if you're convicted of any three felonies,
yeah, okay,
you get life in prison. Which is really stupid.
They better be really careful with what they call a felony, then.
Nope. Oh, you sweet summer child. No.
And they definitely should enforce their laws fairly among all populations. Then this might make sense.
No, I'm pretty sure the logic is, well, if it works for baseball.
Probably. Three strikes and you're out.
Yeah. It
makes perfect logical sense. Because that's what they say in baseball.
Also, you're never allowed back at the plate once you're out in baseball, right?
No, I think you're out for life.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's why there are so many baseball players. Let's throw a rock and there's a professional baseball player. Because mm-hmm. they're never allowed to play again.
So Nathaniel, is his usual self, which is jerk.
Yeah. Comes in, he's wondering, you know, why nobody's working.
And he goes into his talk about how people are hunters, and he's on his clients 24/7, and then their clients, he doesn't want to talk to him anymore. I don't know, he just...
Yeah, that's not good. When Rebecca tells him that she's engaged, she does her old-timey voice. And Nathaniel offers his condolences. And then he goes into his hunter thing. Because Nathaniel is gross.
Mm-hmm.
He is gross. It's amazing how many times I wrote gross in my notes this episode.
I left it to my thoughts.
I wrote it a lot.
Especially, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Then in the break room after the meeting, I guess...
Whatever that was, look at my ring meeting.
Yeah, the look at my ring meeting. Paula is gushing about how romantic everything is. And
clearly Rebecca's lying here.
Yeah.
But she's like playing along and trying to make it sound like everything is so amazing and...
Yeah.
Goosebumpy and...
Yeah, she convinces herself that she still gets goosebumps from Josh, or that Josh gives her goosebumps. Like, you can tell that she knows she's lying, but...
She feels like this is what she's supposed to say and feel, yeah. So she's going to go along.
So she's like, yeah, totally. Also, before that, there's another instance of me writing, Rebecca is gross.
Oh, Rebecca's gross, too, in this
Rebecca's
one.
Gross this time. But feels part? Like the carrot is still in the dip.
Oh, right.
Gross.
I chuckled.
But also gross,
oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Gross. Paula says her, she remembers when things were like that with her and Scott, but Rebecca asks, you know, how that's going, and they're barely talking.
Yeah, we do learn she still misses him.
She does miss him.
But will not tell him that.
No, she has her pride.
Very important.
Yeah, and Rebecca is super supportive here, and she's like, well, whatever you decide. Bye.
What are you really supposed to say there?
I guess.
Like, yeah. No, Paula. You're wrong.
I know.
This is what she's supposed to think.
But she could, you know, stay and talk about it and let Paula get all of her feelings out.
All right, that she could do.
Yeah, she could listen.
You know who is listening.
Who's actively listening from a distance.
Yeah.
Definitely. Not eavesdropping.
No.
Not eavesdropping.
That would be weird. He's actively listening.
Yeah, from a distance.
Well, no one knows he's doing it.
Yeah. That's how active listening works. But Daryl says, you know, he doesn't think Paula's a doormat.
And he can relate, you know. He's been through a cheating spouse before.
Yeah. And Daryl's also gross here. Talks about his partner's genitals being all over town.
Yeah, who wrote this episode again? Can you go back to the top? Is this the first time they wrote an episode for the show?
Elizabeth Kierman Averick. I feel like they've written another episode.
Was it gross?
I don't know. I don't remember. I really, for as much as for us mentioning who writes and directs the episodes, I never keep track of it.
Keep score about who's done the most.
Yeah, we should.
Make like a chart.
For when they're grosser.
That could be a lot of information in this chart.
It could.
Pivot table with like how many episodes each person has written and directed. Oh, this is going to be great.
Okay, that's going to be your assignment. I've saved copies of all of the outlines, so.
Do you think they're mostly sitting in a pile on my in my office?
So yeah, we can do this.
I'm not doing it. Maybe that could be our stretch goal if we get 10 people that register to vote.
Yeah, we get.
I'll make this ridiculous spreadsheet that no one cares about.
Yeah. Good. That'll get them. That'll get them. If we get 10 people to vote in their local elections, Michael make a dumb spreadsheet. Hey, guys, he's a professional accountant. He's really good at spreadsheets.
Yeah, we know our spreadsheets, right? Yeah. You make it too far in accounting if you don't know your spreadsheets.
Oh, he's really good at it. The spreadsheet. Blow your fucking minds. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways, Daryl says that he could be a good sounding board for Paul, but Paul's like, no, you've just made me feel worse. Bye.
Yeah, kind of mean to Daryl, yeah. Even though he was being a little creepy.
Yeah. So, yeah, Paula storms off, and then back home with Josh and Rebecca. Rebecca is trying to get her ring to sparkle.
You might want to try a diamond for that. I think, what's in the middle of her Garfunkel ring?
Not
a diamond, it's something, but it doesn't look sparkly.
No, it's...
Like a pearl or something? I don't know.
I don't know what that is. What are you asking about jewelry?
I don't know, you know a lot of stuff. Okay. You always have the fashion things. You didn't even talk about anyone's clothes in a couple episodes, I don't think, though.
I don't think I have.
What was Daryl wearing in that last scene?
The same thing he always wears, except for the one previous time when he, like, tried to cosplay Nathaniel.
Like his gray suit thing?
Like, yeah, it's like a sort of beige-ish, sort of looser-fitting suit.
No, and was Rebecca wearing something cute?
She was wearing, like, a little...
Oh, she wore something nicer, right? Because they mentioned that.
Yeah, Nathaniel mentions that she actually looked decent today. Normally she looks how librarians look in real life, according to him. Which, I don't think so.
I don't really, like, have a stereotype of what a librarian's gonna look like.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's talking about.
But, I mean, like, Rebecca's skirts tend to be a little on the shorter side, I think. Stereotypical librarian? I don't know. Like, the one person I know who works at a library wears jeans and a t-shirt most of the time, so that's what she looks like in real life.
Well, Nathaniel proved himself stupid.
Yep. Suck it, Nathaniel.
So.
Anyways. Stuff. What are we even talking about? Oh, yeah.
Daryl and Paula were talking. Did I make more about that?
No. We moved on to Rebecca trying to get a ring to sparkle.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the next scene. so she's trying to do that. It's not sparkling.
No.
But Josh has decided to volunteer at church basketball.
Yeah. He likes all that spiritual stuff.
Yeah, he learned that from the Jewish thing he went to, so now he's going to be more Catholic.
Yep. Yes. Makes sense.
I guess. Yeah.
And whatever.
I wonder if that will create more of a rift between them, being that she's atheist and all.
It could. Maybe.
Maybe I should have saved that one for my prediction corner.
Maybe you should.
But yeah, he's getting super into it.
Yeah. Rebecca has found a gorgeous venue.
Yeah, where they shoot movies and stuff.
They shoot movies and shit. And it's apparently where they shot the wine tasting scene from Step Brothers.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a Will Ferrell movie.
I'm shrugging, everyone.
Okay.
Is it a real movie, or are they just, like, making up fake stuff again?
Yeah, it's a real movie.
Okay. Yeah, wine tasting scene. Yeah, of course, that one.
Yeah.
But he's on board. He wants to go there too.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh, but the wait list is 2 years long.
Yeah, that's probably a decent time for there to be a wait list because you want some time to plan out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot to plan.
It's a lot to plan.
Didn't his sister take like 2 years to plan or something like that?
He said.
Or is it her sister?
Yeah, it was his sister. He says it like later in the episode that it took her a year and a half to plan. I have questions about that timeline.
Why?
Because Rebecca helped her fiance buy the ring.
She did?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I don't know why you don't remember it. It's in the episode where they ask her to be a bridesmaid. She's talking about it. And she helped him get a good deal on the ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because she knows people and she made a Jewish joke.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. So that timeline doesn't add up.
Something's wrong here. You don't just buy a ring a year after you propose, right?
Probably not.
What if he bought the engagement ring and she helped him buy the wedding band? Does anyone buy those separately?
Yeah, people buy them separately. I feel like she specifically, I don't know, we'll have to rewatch that episode.
Otherwise, she's been in West Covina way longer than we realized.
Yeah.
Yeah, she planned that wedding in 6 months, sorry, not a year and a half.
Yeah.
Josh is wrong.
Or maybe Jima was planning the wedding a year before she was engaged.
That
yes.
is the true answer.
There we go.
We figured it out.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite.
I know everyone's been agonizing over this fact since this episode was originally released. And do we announce the release dates of these things?
No, originally? We don't.
We should, but it's probably been like a year.
Yeah, about.
Almost, because the season's about to begin.
Maybe like 9 months or something.
Yeah, that's been incubating in your brain for 9 months.
And you're welcome. We solved it.
Yeah. Fact delivered.
Boom.
All right, so.
Anyways, they're, Rebecca puts their name on the wait list, and, yeah, Josh says, what's 2 years when they're gonna be married forever?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, 2 years, that's not so bad. They've only been dating for, what, like a month?
Yeah. Like, if even. I feel like maybe three episodes?
But I mean, it's hard to relate that back to, like, actual in-show time.
Yeah.
But at least a couple weeks. Between 2 weeks and a month.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it has not been a long time.
I mean, they spent that first week in a cocoon. So I feel like 3 weeks to a month is pretty...
Yeah.
I feel comfortable with a month estimate.
All right. I'll allow it. Right in with your corrections.
Bunch of lunch. She'll write in.
She'll
write in and she'll got some crazy theory that she came up with that we don't even know.
Yeah.
She'll be right.
God, I love theory craft.
I need two more episodes and I can listen to that.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm coming, bunch at lunch. I can't listen now or you're going to ruin it for me.
Yeah, but yeah, theory craft.
So we were doing something. Goosebumps.
Yeah, she's not getting any goosebumps.
And she's convinced that this is really important.
Yeah. Yeah, this is vital.
This is, like, telling of their entire relationship.
Yeah. Josh can tell that something is wrong here.
Yeah, she's like, oh, kiss me here. Oh, no, right there. Mm-hmm. No, maybe, no, maybe over here.
Maybe the earlobes, move up to the earlobes. Yeah, so, like, even Josh can tell.
Yeah, she's just in a weird mood. Must be that devil wind.
Yeah, yeah. And be it her first song.
Yeah, kind of a boring wind song is what I found.
Boring wind song?
You didn't find it boring?
You are a monster.
What? You did not find that?
Get the fuck out of here.
This is before I even realized it was going to be a reoccurring like narrative. It was just kind of like, okay, some guy's just kind of dancing around singing. Okay, I clearly we're on different pages here. Tell me about the song.
He's like a playful puck-like imp. he lays out like his whole deal. Like there's magic in the air and also a higher risk of suicide.
Maybe it was that I couldn't understand what he was saying because I couldn't understand his. I needed to put like the captions on because I couldn't understand him half the time. And it reminded me not of a playful imp, but of like 50s like guys in a suit singing songs.
Yeah, like that too. But like also he's like laying out that he's like a playful puck like imp.
Yeah, you see, I just couldn't understand.
That's he's a prankster.
I guess I can't hear that pitch or something. All right, so maybe I can rewatch it and turn the captions on because I can't hear that pitch or something. Sorry.
You should be sorry. You should be sorry right now.
It's not kind of boring. It was fun thinking of the wind as an imp.
That's right. You apologize to me. You apologize to our listeners.
Oh, to the imp.
Yeah, him too.
Was he was no character prior to this. He was just the wind, right?
Yeah, he was the weatherman when on that video that popped up. But, like, no, he's not, like, a reoccurring character throughout the show up to this point.
All right. I take it back.
That's where you take it back. Fuck.
So we're back in the boardroom again for a meeting after the song.
Yeah. Karen's distracted by the winds.
and being embarrassing.
Yeah.
Actively embarrassing.
The wind blows the windows open.
Oh, that impish wind.
Naughty, naughty impish
wind.
Such a prankster.
Just blows Rebecca's blouse wide open.
Yeah.
Spins her around for the entire boardroom to gaze upon the majesty.
Those are beauts, Karen says.
Just to make it extra awkward.
Nathaniel does not say those are buttes, but he is definitely thinking, those are buttes.
Yeah, that's on his mind. He kind of gets dumbfounded there for a minute.
Yeah, and Rebecca sees him catching a peek.
Gets
goosebumps.
Maybe it was just that wind blowing on her again, making her all cold.
Maybe.
I think if the wind just blew off my shirt, I'd probably have goosebumps too. That sounds cold.
You're used to Minnesota winds. I think California winds are warm.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, if you paid attention during the song, you would know he's a hot, hot breeze.
All right. I wasn't paying attention.
A little bit about him. He's a hot, hot breeze.
All right. So it wasn't cold. It really was Nathaniel looking at her breasts.
Yeah.
Rebecca like runs out of there and goes to find Josh to be reaffirmed. Unless there's more, is there more to that scene?
No, that's it. Nathaniel looking at Bonnie and Clyde. Becca gets goosebumps. Yeah.
Yeah, so she runs back to Josh to get reaffirmed.
Yeah, to have some kinky handcuff sex.
Yeah, but you know, Josh is asleep with his allergies.
Yep.
He gets allergies during the winds.
Yeah. Curse you, devil winds! And then the wind comes back, playing his little pranks, that prankster wind. He's got some magic dust.
And it goes right up Rebecca's nose.
Yeah, it's going to make things weird.
And it does. It
does.
She dreams of Nate sex.
And he has the same dream.
At the same time.
At the same time. That's super weird.
Crazy imp.
I can't believe I've been talking you into liking this. I barely took notes on the wind because I'm just going to be like, because I was just like, oh, Mike is clearly going to love this so much I don't even have to take notes on it.
He's got to lower that voice a little bit. I can't hear him.
No, that's not the style of song that he's doing.
I know, but I couldn't get it.
You're a monster.
Cannot comprehend it. I'm not trying to be a monster. I was born that way.
Podcast.
I have a disability.
Over. Done. Dunzo. We're not friends anymore. All right, we're still friends. And we'll keep doing the podcast.
All right, there's another two episodes, and then the next season.
Yeah, but tweet at Mike and let him know that he's a monster, because...
They should like this wind.
Who doesn't?
Also, tweet if you don't like the wind. I want to know if anyone has my back here. Anyone? Or am I that atrocious?
No one's going to tweet this at you because, yeah, why would they? This wind is great. You can go fuck yourself.
All right. So we're back in the break room, and everyone had weird dreams.
All of them.
Everyone.
Karen married her snake. Which is weird, because that proposition isn't even on the ballot yet.
Only the natural extent. No, no.
Side note, it's super easy to get shit on the ballot in California.
They always seem to have a billion ballot measures, don't they?
Yeah, it's super easy to get stuff on the ballot. It has to take, like, 13 hours to vote in California because of all the ballot measures.
Not a lot of, like, snake enthusiasts that want to get this on the ballot, yeah. I guess. Or it would be there. And George is on a boat with a bunch of Georges.
Yeah. He really just want. I don't think. Do you think George actually had this dream?
He just wanted to say his name a lot.
I think he just wanted people to realize that his name is George.
It could be. Yeah, it just seems George-like.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think he really had that dream. I think George is lying here.
He's just trying to get people to remember by saying it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe he should stop comparing himself to George Washington. He's not very George Washington-like, and I notice that he keeps using George Washington.
Maybe better George? Curious George, maybe?
Maybe Curious George? Maybe... Maybe George Bush? I mean, he's not better, but... Maybe closer to George? There's George Clooney.
George Michael?
Boy George?
None of them fit.
No, none of them fit. See, maybe it's his parents' fault. Maybe he's just not a George.
I think that is it, and that's why no one can remember, because it doesn't match.
Yeah.
It just won't register in anyone's mind, because he's not a George.
Yeah.
I would name him Clive, maybe.
Clive, huh?
Yeah.
Clive, not Clyde?
Well, yeah, I guess he would work.
Either one, he's got to have, like, that I sound.
Yeah. So, Paula has the interesting dream.
Yeah.
She's in a funeral home. She's walking up to the casket, and there's Daryl holding a picture of the two of them.
An oil painting of the two of them.
Yeah, important point.
Yes.
Oil painting of Daryl and Paula in his arms in the casket.
And Paula's haunted.
Yeah, she
bothering
killed,
her all morning.
She killed Daryl with her meanness.
Yeah, just because all Daryl wanted to do was be her friend.
Yeah, is that asking too much?
Oh, man. Nathaniel comes in and wants everyone to stop being stupid. Karen does not stop being stupid, is my next note. Karen's like, well, we all had weird dreams. Did you have a weird dream? And he's like, yeah, I dreamt I didn't work with a bunch of morons.
Yeah, he showed them.
Yeah. Dick, and also but not very clever.
She can read him, though. She knows he had some sort of dream.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely did. But yeah, after he's a dick, Karen says, well, I had a dream my boss was kind. And then she tells herself to run away. And Paula, like, starts to apologize for her and, like, tries to explain, and then she just runs away, too.
And then we have a really, like, kind of awkward encounter between Nathaniel and Rebecca in the break room.
Yeah. Rebecca likes to saturate the wood. Gross.
Yeah. But Nate gets the reference.
Yeah. Gross. they're super awkward. Rebecca gets goosebumps again.
She touched his hand passing the creamer.
Yeah. I'm surprised goosebumps. Nathaniel uses cream in his coffee.
There's no way. That's a solid. Almost. I mean, it's practically a solid.
I know. It's
yeah, there's no way he really does that.
Yeah.
They just needed a reason to touch hands.
Yeah. And have something spray up in the air. Preferably white.
Yes. Gross.
Gross. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that scene?
Nope.
All right. Paula apologizes to Daryl for being so short with him.
Daryl thinks it's a trick.
Yeah.
This is not Paula like to be like nice and apologetic.
Yeah, he's confused.
To him, anyway.
Yeah. But no, she's just really sorry, and
she values their friendship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she values their friendship. But Daryl asks her if she wants to go grab a bite after work. There's this new place he's just been wanting to try out. This new super fancy place.
I think the most expensive place.
Yeah.
But yeah, but she agrees. They go.
Yeah, they
make plans.
He doesn't tell her that it's the most expensive place. He just tells her, let's go to this place.
We found that out later, I guess.
Yeah. Daryl is super stoked, and he calls George Gus.
Makes sense. Yeah. Gus would fit better.
Gus would fit better than George.
But you know what? Rebecca's having a code yellow.
Code yellow, so Paula hands her a tampon.
No. That's code blue.
Yep.
Because those tampon commercials were the blue in the thing.
Yeah, because men hate that women bleed.
Yeah.
Is that true, Mike?
Yes.
If it was red liquid in the beakers, would you be like
ah, ah, man, ah. It would make a lot of noise like that.
All right. Now I kind of want them to start using red.
No, yellow is boy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, yellow is man problems. So they talk through the little hidey hole in their cubicles, which is adorable.
It is funny.
But yeah, so Rebecca tells her that Nathaniel's been giving her goosebumps all up and down her lady limbs.
Josh isn't.
She's incompetent.
Yeah, but Paula just thinks, you know, this is going to pass.
Yes.
And, you know, reasonably, Rebecca's getting a little too obsessed about the goosebump thing. So, yeah, I think Paula's got a good point here.
Yes.
Chill out.
So, yeah, she just needs to wait for Nathaniel to whip his yuck out. And Rebecca doesn't know if she can even handle that yuck. And Paul's like, no. Okay, new plan. You need to stay away, as far away from him as possible.
And not get stuck in a small place.
No, don't do that. Yeah, whatever you do, don't get stuck in a small space with Nathaniel. So, Rebecca spends the whole day avoiding him.
Yeah.
All day.
And then it's like the end of the day and she did it. So she's going to...
go home.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's the last person in the office. No need to check or anything, because obviously she's the last person
there. There's not George or Nathaniel there.
No, neither of them. So she goes and gets on the elevator, and uh-oh.
Hand comes to the door.
Yeah.
Nathaniel.
It's Nathaniel.
And now they're in a small place together.
Yeah. And then, oh no, don't do it, wind! Don't do it! Leave those
we know the wind's going to do it. He's so mischievous.
People alone!
Naughty wind.
He's a prankster. Tee hee hee hee.
Knocks out the power.
They are stuck in an elevator together.
I mean, the worst thing.
Then we cut to Daryl and Paula having dinner at Pepper and Oil, which is where Rebecca and Josh went with his parents.
Oh, same place.
Same place.
It looked like the same place. I just didn't know if it really was.
Yep, same place. And it's apparently right next to Scott's new apartment. And whenever Paul's dropping the kids off, she's like, oh, we could have dinner there if we were back together and had $1 million.
Good thing Daryl does, because he sold his law firm.
Yeah. Paula does confide in Daryl that she does want to kind of take Scott back. But,
her pride.
Yeah. She's got her pride. And she's really worried about what other people will say. And Daryl's like, hey, you can't cuddle pride. That's true, you can't. Unless it's a pride of lions. You can try totally cuddling that. You might die, but
they might like it.
They might like it, but probably not.
They'll probably eat you.
But like 999 times out of 1,000, they will eat you.
There's a good chance it might just like slash you.
That's true.
Or rend you.
Yeah.
Could get rended.
I mean, I feel like if like you get rended, they're gonna eat you.
What if they just ate? I mean, they're not gluttonous, are they? These lions, they just eat, and then they're done for a while, right? They're not like fish, they'll just eat until they die, or a bird. I mean, they get full.
Birds will eat until they die?
Like a pigeon, that's why you're not supposed to throw the rice at the weddings. The birds will come and just eat it until they die.
And you're not supposed to throw rice at weddings because people will slip on it.
Well, I heard birds will die.
Well, you heard it wrong. I know that's what everybody thinks, is that it's because birds will die.
Some people don't slip because rice is that slippery?
Because rice is round.
Some people slip. All right, so birds aren't going to die, and lions will eat you.
Lots of birds live on rice in the wild.
All right, so birds get full too, which means lions won't eat you 999 times out of 1,000 because there's a good chance they'll already be full. Because they're like birds, and they won't just eat until they die. They'll be full. Hyenas will get you, though.
Yeah, see, like, even if the lions get, like, you... you're going to get eaten.
Something will eat you.
Something will eat you.
Like, isn't that kind of the truth of everyone? Isn't something always going to eat you?
What if you're cremated?
No one eats dust.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the only way you don't get eaten?
Yeah, so get cremated for that. Do you want to be eaten? No.
I mean, if I'm already dead, what do I care?
But it's kind of, I guess not, but that living thing will think of you poorly.
Do you think poorly of the carrots you eat?
Carrots aren't a person.
You're not a worm.
All right, I have no real point to make here.
Oh, the only thing you'll eat is bugs. And if you die, bugs will eat you.
Oh, that's the worst turn of fate.
You're going to feed robots.
I have to get cremated now. Have to. I cannot let this happen. To be humiliating. I'll never live it down.
Well, no, because you'll be dead.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
I'm going to make sure you get a green burial.
I did kind of want that before I thought of this bug thing. But, you know.
What are we talking about?
I think Paul and Daryl were at dinner, and then somehow we're talking about bugs eating you after you're dead.
How did we get there? I have
to re-listen to this and try to figure out how we got there, but...
Oh, because Daryl says you can't cuddle pride.
But that's you can be it. Eaten alive by bugs. Yeah. Yes.
Obviously.
Or eaten dead by bugs, I should say. You weren't eaten alive. Or you could be eaten alive by a bug, too, I guess.
Maybe if the bugs didn't have any other food.
Or you were immobile.
Yeah, like if you were immobile and the bugs didn't have other food.
I feel like there's enough bugs out there that some bugs will find you and eat you. They're everywhere, and they'll just, like, spontaneously, like, arrive.
Or just show up.
Spontaneous genesis. What's that term called that people used to think that the mice would just spawn in grain?
It's not abiogenesis. Is it abiogenesis?
Oh. Abio, that means a non... Maybe. That would be non-biological origin. I don't think
that's wrong. I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
Is it spontaneous something or other?
Maybe. Probably. I don't know.
Spontogenesis. All right. That'll happen to you if you're trapped under a tree that fell in the forest.
Anyways, Daryl goes to the bathroom. End of scene.
So here we have the Harry Potter scene with Rebecca and Nathan, right?
Not yet.
Oh, that's next. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Rebecca's freaking out.
Yeah, freaking out.
In the elevator.
But, hey, guess what? George is still here.
Perfect. Oh. Saved by George.
And he will get them out as soon as they say his name.
Say it. Say my name. He's really getting the power.
Look, Walter White. So the fuck down. But yeah, neither of them can remember his name. George tries making the George Washington comparison again.
They get the Washington part, but they don't connect to George.
Nope, not at all. Rebecca tries describing his face, and George is like, nah.
And he makes, like, the stand. Oh, yeah? You don't remember me? Well, now maybe you will. I'm out of here. And he leaves.
Yep. And,
So then after he's gone, Nate immediately recommends sex.
Like...
Or suggests sex, I should say. Not
recommend. Let's just have sex.
Clearly. That's the appropriate thing to say at this moment.
And we get another song. Let's have intercourse. Least romantic song ever.
It is pretty much. It's pretty much let's have sex so we can think of other things.
Yeah.
It'll be quick. Don't worry.
Yeah. Also, this is the video is a reference to Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
Yeah. Because
that's the least romantic song ever, so they decided to spoof it for this.
Pretty much.
I did not catch that because I don't really know him.
No. Sometimes I just like watching the music videos for the songs on the show and like those videos that it's based on will like pop up in the recommendations. That's usually how I find them. Nathaniel has an old condom in his wallet. And he actually says this.
Right? That's an old condom.
Because he's like holding it out like at the end of the song, like in real life.
Probably not that crusty yet.
I mean, how old could it be if it's in Nathaniel's wallet?
Because he gets a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Maybe he just says that. Maybe he does. I don't know. He probably does. I don't know. Why do you assume that he gets a lot of sex?
Share. I guess I'm assuming he gets a lot of sex because he says he has a lot of sex. And I mean,
that's always the truth.
Yeah. But, like, he's also, like, you know, a fairly attractive guy.
He's got money.
He's got money.
Money, looks. Money, he's, looks. Like, really aggressive about that stuff. So, yeah. If you try hard long enough, I guess.
And then, you know, also, I mean, I'm not saying that he's probably any good at sex. I mean, he's probably terrible at it because he probably doesn't have to try very hard. So, he's not appreciative.
Yeah.
So he's probably, like, it's probably awful sex. The real reason he doesn't see somebody a second time is because they don't want to. Like, well, that wasn't worth it. So that's what Nathaniel's probably like at sex, you guys.
It's a fact.
Yep. Boom. I know you were all worried about it. But anyways,
Rebecca says no.
Says no because she is engaged. And right now she's outraged.
But Nate doesn't really take no for an answer. He just keeps going.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you're doing the old-timey voice, and I'm still super into it, and Daniel's gross. He's super gross. And Rebecca's like, all right, how about we just, like, get to know each other, like, platonically? Mm-hmm. And this is where she says she's a Ravenclaw.
Yes.
And she is a Ravenclaw. Fuck you, Nathaniel. I will fight you.
You'll stab him with a pen.
I'll do it.
Now we got a scene shift here.
Yeah.
Paula is waiting for Daryl.
He's taking forever in the bathroom. He's probably pooping.
Yeah.
Usually when somebody's taking a really long time, I'm like, oh, they're definitely pooping right now.
You probably bring it up when they come back. You're pooping, weren't you?
I mean, in this show they would.
Yes, especially Rebecca's mom.
Yeah. But then, all of a sudden, Scott shows up out of nowhere.
What the hell?
What the hell? And Daryl called him.
And Paula kind of motions Daryl over here because he's peeking around the corner.
Yeah. Scott does say that he's desperate, though. He's trying to give Paula her space, but she's the center of his whole universe. He says, you're the center of my whole universe. And then she motions Daryl over.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Scott said so.
Yeah.
Paula is pissed.
So pissed. She says Daryl had no right. He's like, well, I just wanted to help. You're my best friend.
No.
No.
He is not.
Yeah.
Her best friend.
No.
Or she's not his best friend.
Yeah. Which is. Yep.
And she leaves them both there on the spot. Nothing to say to Scott. So back to the elevator.
Back to the elevator. Rebecca concedes that maybe she's a little Gryffindor. 10% Gryffindor tops. Tops. And I'm conceding a lot.
Yeah, but Nate is, of course, a Slytherin, we find out here, as we discussed earlier in the show. And they almost kiss. Like, they were getting...
they get all kissy close face talking. Like, they were definitely just about to kiss.
But the electricity comes on, saves that disaster from happening.
Definitely nothing... No disaster going to happen now. Crisis averted.
Yeah. Problem that was a close call.
Solved. So that's the episode. Let's just pack the stuff up all up and go
home. I would like to say that. Unfortunately,
Nope. Rebecca stops the elevator.
That stupid bitch.
Oh.
And she kisses Nate.
Yeah. Grabs him by the face and kisses him. Then instantly regrets it.
Yeah. She runs off. And confronts the wind.
Confronts the wind! Blames him for the kiss. And he says, no! I just reveal your secret wishes and fears. So it's you, Rebecca! It's not him. Who is super weird.
And then, is it him that tells her that she ruins everything and she's a stupid bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, see... The wind even called out our show, Mike. He called out the podcast specifically.
Yeah, we're that, like, serious. I mean, we are well known.
Into the future, he called us out.
It's not every podcast that can penetrate into the past.
Yeah.
That's how impactful we are.
Yeah.
was like black hole reversing time, that good a show.
You might even say we're legit.
Definitely, I mean, beyond the event horizon for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, Rebecca rushes in to her bedroom, wakes Josh up. She's got something she's got to tell him right now.
She's going to confess.
Right now,
she's going to confess what happened. She's going to apologize. Yeah. And she's going to tell him how horrified she is. And
they're going to work it through like Scott and Paula did. And that's what happened. That's end of the show. Let's pack this all up.
No, obviously, Rebecca's insane.
Oh, she is insane.
I mean, what the hell, Rebecca? What the hell? I mean, come on. I'm so disappointed in her. Yeah, but she decides that she is going to pay someone an exorbitant amount of money to give up their wedding reservation.
In 2 weeks.
How much money did she pay?
So much money. Because the person had to be willing to, like, lose, like it had to cover, like, the deposit on the venue. The deposit to the caterer.
It's a fancy place,
and
too.
The cake. And, like, changing all of the invitations.
Do they not know Rebecca's broke? Clearly she fooled some people. This is going to come back to bite her. I'm putting it at
$200,000.
$200,000? Maybe $100,000 she paid.
$100,000.
$100,000 she offered this couple to cancel their wedding.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, because, I mean, the wedding itself was probably going to cost, like, $30,000 at least.
Didn't anyone have to, like, rebook everything?
If you're going to cancel last minute, you're going to want to recoup your costs and then some.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not worth that disaster.
The bridesmaids' dresses are still going to be usable for when you reschedule. Your dress is still going to be reusable for when you reschedule. Maybe they have an agreement with the caterer that they can move the date.
Then having to send out all these invitations to every guest and have everything rebooked. And this is what sounds like a destination wedding. Like, it's not just sitting around local, is it?
No, it's just in...
Oh, is it nearby?
Yeah, okay.
It looked like it was going to be in the Bahamas or something. I don't know.
No, it's like... It's in Malibu, which is like...
Did they bring that up, or do you just know this?
They bring it up. So it's like... I mean, it's probably like 3 hours away.
People probably have hotel reservations.
It's 3 hours away from West Covina. I don't know where it is from.
The couple that
accepted
$100,000 to do up the wedding. I'm still going with $100,000 of money she doesn't have.
I don't know, because she, like... It's not that she's broke. She was broke. She's not poor.
She didn't come across $100,000 in the last month.
She got her bonus.
$100,000?
Maybe. That's not unreasonable for a lawyer.
Is it?
No.
Oh, wrong profession, Mike. Hot damn. All right, fine. She got a $120,000 bonus.
And also, I mean, she's still getting paychecks.
Well, yeah, but it's... Anyways. Okay, yeah, she has a lot of money. She's rich. Rich Rebecca's back.
And she hasn't been as bad as she was, like, in season one. So she probably does have some savings.
All right.
Maybe not $100,000. Maybe she had to take out a loan for this.
But she doesn't. And now she tells him that, great news, we're going to get married in 2 weeks instead of 2 years.
Yeah, and it's just what you've always dreamed of. Josh is confused.
And confused and kind of thinks they might be rushing things.
Yeah.
But he eventually just agrees. Okay.
Yeah, like, all right. But, yeah. Rebecca's goosebumps are back.
Oh, good.
And the winds went away.
Everything's looking up.
Yep.
Nothing can go wrong now.
Nothing can go wrong now. Everything is great now. We'll never have problems again.
No.
Then we cut to Paula and Rebecca at Sugarface. And Paula's pretty shocked because, you know, 2 weeks to plan a wedding is insane.
Yeah, but you know what? Rebecca doesn't care how it looks. It's her love story.
Yeah. Who cares what people say?
Yeah.
And, Paula sort of thinks about that. And then we cut to Scott dropping off the kids.
Got a new older kid, apparently.
That's Brendan. He came back.
The older one?
Yeah.
That's a different kid.
No, that's the same kid.
Not.
It's the same kid!
Not.
He's got, like, a different haircut, but that's the same kid.
The kid from season one had really short, like, black hair. He had nunchucks.
He had a lot of gel in it.
Is it really the same kid?
I'm pretty sure that's the same kid.
I gotta look into this, because that looked really different. It looked like a Hansen brother in this episode, and it looked like some, like,
haircut.
Bully from the 1980s.
Look, I don't know. All you white guys look the same to me. We were doing so good up until this moment.
Okay, we hadn't pulled over phone once.
Huh? It is a different actor from season one, although...
Ha ha! Knew it.
Although, we have seen this actor before this season, when he's eating naked cheese.
Oh, is that the same guy from Naked Cheese?
Yeah, that is Naked Cheese guy.
So Scott's going to just leave after dropping off his newly found son, his newly adopted son.
He's had him for at least 3 months.
All right, but he's going to drop him off. But Paul invites him over for dinner and to move back in.
Yeah. And,
and she still loves him.
Yeah, and she misses him. And he's not off the hook yet, though.
Yeah, still he's got some work to do. He's got to touch poop. Still got to do that.
I mean...
One of the classic, like... what's that word for? Like, classic courtship behaviors. You're touching the poop. And he's going to do it.
I thought you were going to say something about, like... Well, now I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
I'm not the only stupid one on this podcast.
Oh, you're contagious. remorseful acts. You have to go and touch the poop when you're really, really sorry.
Mm. Poo. Squish. Some people send flowers. Other people touch poop.
Who's to say which one is better?
Don't know what to say.
But anyways, Scott has to earn back her trust. Is there anything else we want to say about that scene?
I think we really beat that one, Ted.
Yeah, that's next day at work. Paula goes to apologize to Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl has, like, a song to sing.
Yeah. Right?
You want to talk about that before the song or not?
Paula does say that he overstepped, but she knows he meant well. And yeah, we can talk about the song.
So Daryl sings a little song about how he knows that he's not her best friend, but he doesn't care because she's his anyways.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
And he likes her because she is sarcastic and tells him the truth.
Yep. And at the end of the song, Paul says, okay, how about... You're my best male friend.
What about that guy from school, though?
Sunil?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Sunil didn't help her fix her marriage.
Yeah, where's he been?
I don't know. He's probably taking care of his stupid 3-year-old twin daughters. Ugh. They're so self-centered. Unlike every other 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Anyways, Daryl's willing to take best male friend. Super excited about it. Yells it really loud.
Yeah, into the next scene, you hear him yelling in the background.
Yeah. In the break room, Rebecca and Nathaniel are super awkward again.
Yeah, and Rebecca needs to make sure that Nate knows that this will not happen again.
Nope. And, she's getting married in 2 weeks.
And then Nate calls Josh a muggle.
Calls him a muggle. But then... Nathaniel remembers George's name! Oh,
George.
This is going to be such a happy
character
ending
arc
for
is completed.
George. And so he is fired.
For real this time.
For real this time. Super fired.
Get a little intake here of Karen having to choose between her snake and her inmate.
Yeah. What's a girl to do?
I don't know.
How do you choose between...
Two enticing options. It's really hard to...
How do you choose between your snake and... Your 12-year fiancé who is doing a life sentence in San Quentin. How do you choose?
That's the show.
That's the show. What'd you think, Mike?
This one was a little bit infuriating for Becca. Damn it.
Yeah.
And there was a weird, boring wind guy over there.
Oh, you
kept coming back.
You can go fuck yourself. Oh, you are a monster. Now it's time for Get It. And, which is the person who had us pumping our fists, and I wasn't going to pick this guy for Forget it, but now I gotta pick the win. Now I gotta pick the win. Forget it.
He did get it. He made much mischief.
Yeah.
That's really
what he was after. Which was his goal.
And he got it.
And he got it. So, yeah. Good job, Wind. Good job. Thanks, Mike. You made me pick him. Wasn't going to.
I'll give Daryl the get it for getting recognized as a friend, finally. I mean, he's been waiting for that for 2 seasons, and he finally got recognized as the best male friend anyways. I mean, it's pretty close.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
No, you can't.
I can't. I had to give it to the Wind. Hope you're happy.
It's good, because if you pick Daryl first, I won't know what to say. I have to think of something. I was going to pick the Land. That'd be weird.
That would be weird. But now it's time for, oh, honey, this is a person who, you know, you sympathized with them, or you felt bad for them, or you've been where they've been. Like, who's your aw, honey?
Realize now I left that one blank.
All right.
I must have been thinking about that one and then, like, got distracted. And
well, you know, I will do my aw, honey. I will replace them with Daryl, since I couldn't pick him, forget it. Because
these two categories tend to overlap.
There is some overlap, and Daryl was kind of on the, like, on the cusp between get it and aw.
Because this whole episode, his friend feelings hurt.
Yeah, because he had his friend feelings hurt. I was previously going to give it to Paula, because I understand how it can be hard to, like, want to forgive somebody, but worry about what other people think. And so there was some consideration of Paula, but yeah, I'm giving it to Daryl.
Yeah, I don't have one. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. I can't. Maybe I'll just give it to Paula just because you said something, and I can't know what else to do.
Okay. I would let you do Daryl for both.
All right, Daryl gets both.
Daryl gets both? You want to talk about why he's on?
Same reason.
Same reason? Got his friends feeling hurt?
Yeah, and then he got his recognition, so it's kind of a full cycle, like, arc there. Feel bad, and then he got it.
All right, well, that's a productive conversation.
Yeah, I'm glad I had that. But what about I can't?
Oh, so for I just can't with you right now. Who's the person that we just can't with them right now? Right now we cannot with them. Right now. Right now, I cannot. Fucking Rebecca. Jesus Christ,
yeah,
Rebecca.
For real.
Oh my God. No, Rebecca.
I was like yelling at the TV.
No.
So disappointed and upset. It's like, what the hell? I thought we were past this crap.
But also, so that we don't just both have the same one. Also, Nathaniel.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say. Yeah.
Just, come on, Nathaniel. Just come on. I can't with you right now. But yeah, Mike, what time is it? You know what time it is? What time is it, Mike?
Prediction time.
It's time for Mike's Prediction Corner.
That was epic. I feel like I should come out and dance or something.
You should. Do it. Do it, 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 do it. Okay, stop doing it.
So, this wedding is going to go poorly.
You think so, eh?
Almost certain. Mm. I'll put every, like, chip that I have bet of every bet this entire series into this one prediction that it's just going to go poorly. I mean, it's some sort of disaster. There's just no way this ends up happy. 100% for certain.
All right. Just.
I'm trying to figure out, like, how it goes poorly, because that's pretty broad. Like,
yeah,
obviously it's going to go poorly, right? I mean, that's...
It's not much of a show if it goes smoothly.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, there's no way. And a hard time figuring out how. It's for sure not going to be happy, but I have, like, one guess. I'm going to call this prediction, because a prediction would be, like, I think this is going to happen. This is just, like, I'm guessing. But maybe I'm going to predict it. Now that I wrote it down, I like it a little better.
All right.
I think Nate, that Slytherin asshole, somehow drops this news to Josh at some point, like, maybe on wedding day or something. I think Nate foils it. He's been after Josh since he first saw him. Like, he has no reason to hate Josh so much, but he does. He's obsessed with Josh. So I think he feels the need to ruin this.
An interesting theory you have.
Also, maybe he's, like, super into Rebecca now, even though he hides it. She's really, really hot. Maybe he is into Josh.
I mean, you pointed out that he was super obsessed with Josh.
because he's like jealous. How does this person get this person that I really like? I don't know. I just think he ruins it because I don't know how else it's going to get ruined, but it will for sure get ruined.
All right. It's interesting. Interesting theory you have. Is that all your theories?
That's it.
Just the one. Just the one fucking prediction. I did that song and you had one prediction.
Yes, I feel like all the storylines are kind of like wrapping up and it's focusing into this single like point now.
All
right. I mean, George has his arc. Daryl got his friendship. Paula's back together with the husband. Like everything is kind of resolving except for this wedding now. So I think like this is going to be, here's my prediction that like the rest of the next two episodes, so two for end of it, are like laser focused on this wedding now. I'm making a motion that represents the laser focusing on this event. So I think all the other storylines kind of collapse into this one. All
right. Interesting. Interesting theory. That's the show. I'm going to tell you to do stuff. You're not going to listen. You don't care. You already stopped listening. You stopped listening after.
You heard this end of the show, and now you're gone.
Now you're gone. Now you're gone. Now you're gone. So, yeah. Rate us, and if you're still listening and you know like the show, you can rate us and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. You can leave us a comment on Podomatic. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for You Ruin Everything. You can follow us on Twitter at You Ruin Everypod, and you can email us at youruineverythingpod@gmail.com. We don't know how to end this podcast.
And if you want to join our Critics Girlfriend viewing party, tweet at us, and maybe we'll say. No, we'll probably say no, but you should do it anyways because you're not listening anyways.
Yeah, do it anyways. I mean,
you just got invited to my house and you're not even listening. Yeah. How rude is that? Actually, I don't have cable. You just got invited to Angie's house.
It's not on cable. CW's a network.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, well, maybe at my house then.
Yeah.
Probably not, but tweet it anyways.
We'll have a cheese plate.
Ooh, now it's on.
Yeah.
This party's happening. Maybe it'll just be me and you. Maybe if someone tweets really nicely, and you're not scary.
Yeah, and you're
I'll have to judge you first.
We're gonna make sure you're not a white supremacist.
Yeah, there'll be a background search.
Yeah,
but you could try. Do you have people to watch Good Dicks Girlfriend with? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't.
Maybe you don't.
Maybe and if you don't, maybe try. You never know what'll happen.
You never know. So yeah, hey, maybe I'll even pay the $5 for the geolocated Snapchat filters that Bunchkins made. Huh? Huh? Yeah.
I don't know what that is. But.
Yeah. Oh, they're Snapchat filters that were made by Bunchkins.
What do they do?
They're like crazy ex-girlfriend themed. But they, like...
I barely know what a filter is.
There's like a pretzel one.
So, like, it puts a pretzel in your picture?
Like, it puts, like, a bunch of, like, raining pretzels in your picture.
Oh. Cool.
There are other ones, but... They could be spoilers, so I won't discuss them.
Yeah, all right then. So, I won't look at them either.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll spring the $5.
We should all go to West Covina for this party.
That's not going to happen. I'm not...
You're not flying out there for that?
I'm willing to spring for $5.
And I'll bring presents.
Yeah. And a cheese plate.
And a cheese plate. Apparently, I'm doing all the food. And using them to Snapchat.
Yeah.
So let's be done.
So, yeah, we don't have it on the podcast. #butt stuff, whatever.